do in Hawaii.
Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here another week. I always say that literally, and I know right now we're all very happy to have health, right? That's probably the number one thing on everybody's agenda right now all around the world. Yes, no exception. So to all your families and friends and everybody, I hope you all are safe and healthy. And, then the second thing we always have, we need food, shelter, et cetera, and that's a couple things we're going to talk about today, too. And we also need money. Our world still goes around on money with trade, and it looks like gold and silver may be much more valuable soon, or who knows what the changes are going to happen with our dollars. And so today, because so many people are going through things, and we're hearing so much, I don't want to say fake news and positive news, negative news, Facebook news, social networking news, it's hard to know what's real and what's not real, and hard to find out. Even we are also used to Googling these days, finding out, is this real or this is not real, or what's the facts? So we're going to talk about some facts today, and mortgage forbearances, moratoriums on evictions are coming, opening up right now. The 50%, half a percent fee on refinances and how to cope, we want to talk about, and how to cope with the influx of all that's going to happen and coming due, and what you can and can't do about it. And of course, we want to keep a good attitude, but the 50% fee on conventional refinances is starting September 1st. There's been a lot of misconceptions. It's such a new thing that just came out. There's a lot of things that are being said that aren't true, and there are. So we have Chris Cassia with us today. He is a seasoned mortgage professional with years and years of experience. He's amazing. We actually work with him in Maryland, and there's nothing he's never been able to do. He's lots of times, he's really good at what he does, and I trust what he says. He's the type of person that isn't going to tell you something if he doesn't know it. He'll go find the answer and make sure it's the correct answer before he puts his name on it. So he's with Fairway Mortgage, and he's going to help us weigh in on the pros and the cons. So I'll be asking him a lot of questions. You know, I've been in for a long time, and we're going to kind of have a great discussion today and see how we can all help each other weather the storm. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Chris Cassia. Hey, thanks for coming on.
Glad to be here today, Natalie.
I'm sorry I gave you short notice today, and I really appreciate you being able to come in and help us out today, because this is such a strange time, isn't it, for everybody with the COVID. And I understand your dad had it, right? Your dad had it.
And my dad, weathered and mom, it, and right? brother all tested positive, but all were asymptomatic, thank God. No less wear and tear. What they've grown through as they age, but bless.
But your dad's
still
in his
around.
90s, right? He's in his 90s, right?
Sure.
Didn't he? I thought he. That's amazing.
They're 93.
He's got. Wow, that I didn't realize they all three tested positive. It makes sense because he had it, right? Came through with it, but I think he's the only one that felt they didn't he? He had to have lung issues or some other issues, right? Or did that not affect him?
Well, again, there were some occlusions, opacities, I guess they call them, in his lower lungs. But he seems fine, very alert.
God bless him.
And says he feels good. So
that's
thank
perfect.
God
that's amazing.
For his health.
Yeah, thank God. so many people are making it through. And so we have a lot to talk about today, because between the forbearances and what's happening with the evictions, which is so many things are happening right now that are creating a major domino effect, right? We had the in March, so many places started getting shut down, and then in March, I believe the government said that the mortgage bankers were going to be required, lenders, to offer forbearances up to a year on the mortgage. Can we talk about forbearances first before we get into some of the other things?
Sure thing. I think all of these are separate issues, so you know, we could take them one by one.
Yeah. Okay. So with the mortgage forbearances, I think the government said that they had to agree to 3 months to a year of forbearances if people couldn't pay their mortgage.
Well, the real issue comes down to the fact that the government gave us all this latitude of taking a forbearance without it damaging our credit scores. And some lenders, many banks, my understanding is, took the liberty to extend and mark everybody in their servicing portfolio as being under forbearance, which then shows up on their credit report, even though it doesn't affect the credit score. The note is there. Even if they continue to make their payments, it then creates a problem with their potential to get new financing, whether it's a purchase or refinance. So it was an unforeseen issue that occurred by the government trying to help the consumer out that quickly had to be remedied by the agencies to somehow do a workaround. And Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac did that workaround by changing their guidelines about forbearances and missed payments or skipped payments within the past 12 months by saying if it is reinstated fully or if it has started into a repayment plan for at least 3 monthly consecutive payments, that you would regain your eligibility to do new financing. Unfortunately, the government agencies like FHA and USDA, it's an act of Congress to get any changes to their guidelines. And so therefore,
right,
those people who are trying to pursue FHA and USDA financing still have to qualify under the old guidelines that say if you've got this number of late payments or missed payments over the last 12 months, you're just going to have to wait until you're back on track for a year before you're eligible.
And they're still going to count forbearances as a late payment, even though it's not supposed to be shown that way on the credit report because the lenders are putting forbearances, right? So FHA is going to, because they know. Okay.
No, the credit reports do not show any reporting. Same way that when someone goes into bankruptcy, the credit reporting on that mortgage account no longer reports to the credit bureaus. It goes into the collection department so that they monitor the payments, if any, if it's a Chapter 13 and they're making partial payments or they've reaffirmed the debt. But the credit reports for those who entered a forbearance in March, if you look at their credit report today, the last reported of their payments was March before the forbearance started. Because because of the fact that it's a COVID forbearance and it has special circumstance attached to it, the missed payments over the last 4 months don't show up as negative credit. But the note is there that says that they are in forbearance that does affect how they can proceed with new financing.
That's horrible. I mean, because I think a lot of people thought, and rightly so, I checked into it immediately because I was concerned to how we were going to, you know, recommend things to clients but a lot of people thought that it wouldn't hurt their credit because that's what everybody was told nationwide, and you know, it's a shame what's happening now. So I'm glad Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac have adjusted their rules. For our listeners, and a lot of people are agents and brokers that come back and listen in the future, you know, many people download. Can you also, and general public, tell us the difference, like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, what type of loans those are compared, so they know the difference, basically, versus FHA, VA, et cetera, and USDA.
Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are government-supported enterprises that are overseen right now by the FHFA, the Federal Housing Finance Agency. And they're in conservatorship because of some of the severe losses that they suffered back in 2008, 2009, when we had the mortgage crisis. Those
okay.
are commonly referred to as conventional loans or conforming loans, which are not protected by any government agency, the mortgage itself. FHA, for instance, and VA, if somebody was to have one of those type of loans and go into default, the insurance programs that the government provides with upfront fees that are charged on the closing of those loans then is there to pay for any defaults and reimburse the principal to the investor in those cases. Under conventional
loans,
protected.
Right.
Private mortgage insurance companies do that insuring when the loan to value when it was originated is more than 80%.
So conventional, you still can get a 5, 10%, 20%, but they're not going to, that makes sense. For people to know, that's the difference on conventionals, the FHA and the. Now, on the question before, when I was asking before about the, you said FHA and USDA, if they people went into forbearance, then they're going to have to wait. Could be up to a year, right? Because it's going to show that they were in forbearance 3 months or however long. That hasn't been changed yet, and apparently conventional loans falling under Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac has been changed, but. That's going to take a while, I guess, before they're going to get to that point.
Again, we have a problem with Congress going back and settling the stimulus second phase right now on top of the other issues that they're dealing with and trying to get it go through conventions and elections in November for them
right.
to bring this topic up at this time and take time away from other things, it's very, very doubtful that it'll happen at least
That's
before
really
November.
So it's really important for everybody out there to know if you can pay your mortgage, pay your mortgage. I talked to many people that said they, for cash flow, because of being afraid of what was going to happen, they just pulled themselves back and didn't pay the money and went into forbearance, which has turned into a real problem. So do they, for FHA and USDA, do they have to have 1 year, 12 months of good payments on the mortgage?
Again, the guidelines are different for every program out there. But
okay.
the guidelines specifically for FHA, as an example, has a certain number of late payments that are allowed in the last 12 months that were 30 days late, a different number that as a maximum that could have been 60 days late, same thing with 90 days late. And if a combination of those limits have been hit over the last 12 months, then until that loan is brought current, you're basically going to wait for 12 mm-hmm. months probably until you're eligible again for that type of loan.
That's a shame. It's just a shame because I think that too many people didn't understand the program well enough. When you first started mentioning forbearances, you said that a lot of the companies put the people into forbearance. So you're saying some people got put into forbearance on their credit report that didn't even ask for it? Or was
yes.
that only people that asked for it?
No, that was that was a response by some of the banks to make it easier for them than taking phone calls and waiting for people to ask for the forbearance. They just put them in there thinking they were doing something that would benefit them. But then what happened were the unforeseen results. And when those were learned about, that's when everything started to get changed quickly. And at least there was that was remedied on the conventional loans. VA loans have somewhat also relaxed some of the guidelines, I believe, on their interest rate reduction refinance loans if they're in forbearance. But again, FHA and USDA, because they are regulated and guidelines set by agencies related to the government and meeting in Congress votes.
To my understanding,
they're the ones that are still people who would need to qualify just for those two programs are unfortunately not able to qualify for them. So if somebody has an FHA loan FHA loan right now and they have good credit, they can refinance that loan and possibly qualify for a conventional loan as long as they meet the reinstatement guidelines of the forbearance and are no longer in that forbearance.
But
it would be like
happened. You know, years ago, we come from the old school in the 90s, before they were doing credit scores, an underwriter could say, oh, this person I can see, had so terrible, why this situation happened or had hospital bills for this reason, we're going to give them the loan. Now, the whole industry is so credit score based, it drives me nuts. I know it makes sense. But and you couldn't deal with that many people. Of course, there's more people nowadays getting loans than there were even in the 90s. So it's something that we need. But for an example, these innocent – well, everybody needed forbearance. God bless everyone needing it because it's been a terrible time. But the people that didn't even ask for it at all that got put into the program, what happens – is there any exception for them if it can be proven that they did not do this intentionally and they want to buy a house under – FHA?
Yes. Yeah, all they'd have to show is that they were, they had been making their payments all along, even though the credit report shows that
they're in forbearance.
Okay, so
the payments are being made, that's perfect. That answers that.
Error in credit reporting that they can, they may need an explanation as to why they asked for forbearance or that explanation letter might say, I never asked for the forbearance.
That makes sense because I was thinking maybe their payments were even put on hold from the lenders, but that didn't happen then. It's just that they put them on forbearance in the thing, but they could still make payments, right? So that answers the question.
Right. At any time in that forbearance period of the 6 months or 12 months that they set up, they were allowed to skip it if they wanted to.
Got it. Okay. Okay, so I didn't – so that would be good. So then someone can prove, hey, I made my payments, I didn't want it, and still not have a problem with the loan. That's good to know. It's a mess. So on the forbearances, now when this first started, I remember your company, Fairway, which is nationwide, offered some really, really very informative Zoom webinars for the real estate industry to update everyone. And at that point, I think it was really a big mess for the mortgage bankers because there wasn't the money that was supposed to be out there to help them from the government, and how would they be able to carry all these forbearances for a year. It was almost like an impossible situation. Apparently that was worked out, I guess, right? There's something was worked out to help the mortgage bankers? Or was there anything worked out to help them?
No, the fact of the matter is that when a loan is closed and then put into a servicing pool, that servicer then has a commitment to pay the bonds created by that or the mortgage-backed securities created by that to the investors whose money actually is covering those bonds. So the problem is that if they're not receiving any payments where are the resources coming from that they can then pay out on those bonds? Those bonds are other people's fixed income sources in retirement, possibly.
Right. So, because I remember the head of the company, the head of Fairway was saying that had to be worked out. It was an example of if there's $80 billion of money is being put into forbearance, and then they're only making $10 billion. It doesn't work, right? So I thought I heard back then something like there was language that was supposed to be put in all this, but somehow it got left out. And so they have to fix something, or they're not going to mortgage bankers or the lenders won't make it in the next year. So what's being worked out on that? missing something, because I thought I heard that, unless I heard it incorrectly in the beginning.
Again, my understanding, I speak in my own opinion, and not
right.
As a representative of Fairway.
No, I know. I'm not saying. Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah.
And my understanding is that the issue with conventional loans is different than the issue with FHA. FHA guarantees, has clauses in their guidelines that say that lenders will not be forced to buy back the loans if they have performed for a certain period of time.
Good.
With new loans that have just been recently originated and placed into the pool of securities, some of them, right after closing, the people have the right, due to this COVID temporary circumstance, to request an immediate forbearance and never make their first payment.
That's terrible.
And so the issue with conventional loans that was, I think what you're talking about, the understanding, was that if a loan is sold or originated and closed as a Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac loan, and it does go into forbearance before the first payment made, before it can get to Fannie or Freddie, in that pool of loans for the mortgage-backed securities, it ends up having to be bought back by the originating entity.
They're making the originator buy it back, and then they're on the hook, so they have to really make sure. It's a tough one because of with COVID, how many people have gotten laid off afterwards, and we see what they're checking all that out the day before closing. But I thought, what about all these homeowners, that property owners that have gone into forbearance that didn't do a new loan and didn't refinance, and the servicers are carrying it, right?
Servicers are carrying.
How are they going to handle?
No.
How are they going to?
They are paying.
Yeah.
They're having to pay out the investors of those mortgages with the fixed rate incomes for the performance of those bonds. And those bonds obviously aren't performing because they're not receiving the revenues in to pay the money out. So if they have to go into their pocketbooks to cover periodic monthly payments, that's where the problem lies, is that the servicers
could
get to the point where they're out of money and they have no resource to get more money. Warehouse lines have tightened up. There's the ability for those warehouse lines to charge more. And in fact, Fannie and Freddie, one of the remedies that they had was to charge an extra 600 or 500 to 700 basis points, or 5% to 7% of the size of the loan, as a penalty if that loan went into forbearance after they bought it in the first several months.
Okay, so they've got that in place.
So basically, that's a haircut. That if you generate a $100,000 loan and extend that money on top of that period of time that you hold the loan before you sell it to Fannie to get your money back to be able to loan it again, they come back and say, "Oh, well, this loan has another 7% charge to it. You've just done a $100,000 loan, and it cost you $7,000 to do it." As a company or as an enterprise, why would you ever want to do a loan like that?
You wouldn't, right? So now they're not going to. That's telling us the future. It's a little bit scary. Do you think the government's going to pitch in and pick up some of that loss? I don't know. I figured there was something that was supposed to be worked out, but I don't know what it is.
My understanding from the FHFA. Director Mark Calabria, I was on a phone webinar that he was speaking. He said that the percentage of loans that were in forbearance were about 5 or 6%. So if there were 5 or 6% of the loans that were in forbearance and that was going to affect the performance of the bonds, his remedy was to have this hit take place.
Got it.
Of the 500 or 700 basis points to cover that 6% that right now is not performing.
Not that bad, yeah. No, but what about all the conventional loans that people are in forbearance right now? And so that leads me to another question. With the mortgage lenders, not so much the services are still – no, the services are the ones holding them. Okay, so with the mortgage servicers, say right now, I don't know how many people are in forbearance, and I should have looked that up, but there's a lot of people in forbearance.
5 or 6 or 7%.
Okay, that's about – even conventional, like everything, not just FHA?
Again.
Everything you think?
Oh, that's the number. That's the number I heard on the webinar probably 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, because it might
so
be FHA, and then I'm wondering
changed.
With –
because people have
– Yeah, but I'm wondering conventional and all that, it could be even higher. So with all those numbers – So we're not going to know. It's going to be like a crapshoot kind of thing in a sense. So with one of my questions, though, is when these all these forbearances that people could take 3 months up to a year, when they come due, do you think most of them are going to be able to put the back payments on the back end of the mortgage or do a loss mitigation? Or does it look like most of the lenders are going to want, the servicers are going to want the money when it's due, when they go out of forbearance, they're going to have to pay up everything?
There'll be an agreed-upon repayment schedule. Obviously, the money, in some cases, it might be tacked onto the back end of the loan. On others, it may, if they've been in forbearance for 3 months and that amounts to $3,000, they might have a 12-month repayment period of that $3,000 on top of their regular mortgage payments.
Okay. So there is a chance,
but generally, there's not a lump. It's not a lump sum, to my knowledge, in most of the cases, if not all.
Because this forbearance is so new, this major forbearance in the long haul isn't new, but the way this has come about with COVID, it's such a new situation that it seems to me that we could end up seeing a lot of people that can't afford it, and that can't afford it, and just end up losing their property or having to go into a short sale. I'm praying that doesn't happen. But it's really, like, we've got so many evictions. There's so many properties that our landlords have been carrying since March with no payments. And so I'm assuming you either pay the property. I've had a situation myself since, I talked to you about before about a property in Maryland. But I've been able to pay my mortgage and pay what the costs are. If somebody can't pay that, it's a big mess. So you're always hearing, well, they're not going to foreclose on you. You can go into forbearance. But I would think a lot of those people, if they're relying on the rental income and the people aren't going to pay back the rental income when that comes, the moratoriums or the evictions, go through and people take people to court, and that there's not going to be any money, that's going to go into more short sales and foreclosures. And I don't ever want to look at doom or gloom, but when I look at the domino effect here, it's like, what can we do to put some things in place to cover that? And as far as the servicers and lenders, that'll be fantastic if they do work out those payments and not say, no, you now owe $30,000, you now owe $12,000, whatever they had, in forbearance. I mean, I don't know. I guess hopefully that wouldn't happen, right? Hopefully. Well, there's no way to know 100%.
Again, it's one of the risks of being an investor. If you invest in the stock market, you're hoping that the stock value is going to go up. Sometimes it crashes and goes to zero. I've had that experience.
I think we've all seen it, huh?
And in the same way, if you were lucky enough to have some cash available on hand, when the market crashed and the Dow was down at 18,000 a few months ago and put it in now, you would have made 60% return on it in the last few months.
Exactly.
So everything's a timing thing. And I'm a baseball player by history of the sport that I love the most and played the most. And, it's a batting average. When you go into a slump, eventually you're going to get out. And, the economy has done the same thing. Is that we have been in a slump, a forced recession because of this COVID danger. And it was the government that dictated that people who wanted to work were no longer allowed to work. And so they tried to make some change in rules and processes that got some of the cooperation from some of the other private entities in the country. And they've all tried to do the best that they can, the quickest they can. And you know, that's why this is called a new normal, because nothing is stagnant anymore.
That's a good point.
We can't expect tomorrow to be the same as today with the rules that are in place today.
You know,
all we can do is pray.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you. Oh, God's real, and it's been tough for everybody, every which way you look at it. And if we end up having another shutdown, that's, you know, it's a little like investors might say, hey, I can get this property at a good price because the prices are going to go down if all of these things happen. But then there could be another moratorium, and nobody can. It's just a mess. It's a real big mess. But that's a good answer to my question. I'm glad to hear that the percentages aren't. We don't know what the exact percentages are, but they aren't, you know, like 50% in forbearance. That would be pretty almost unthinkable, right? To be able to for them to carry that. So I'm gonna come back to some of these in a little bit, but I'd like to ask you about the 50%. It's a half a percent. It's a half a percent on refis that's coming in on. Or has come in already, and apparently it's coming in on the conventional mortgage refis. But with social media and with fake news and with all these things, I just want to get clarity from you, because some people are saying, hey, it's not just going to be refis. It's also, from what we know, going to be regular conventional loans on and on and on. So what are they just trying to get some of their money back? What's happening that this came about?
Well, first off,
and what
anybody
it is.
Can
what
spec-
is it?
Anybody can speculate about what might happen tomorrow, but nobody has a crystal ball. If they have insider information, then maybe they'll go to jail for that insider information if they make any trades to benefit them, their pocketbook. But the reality of it is that normally when guidelines change or fee structures and pricing change at the agencies, that they give everyone in the industry an advance notice of that and reach out for comments, a period of time where they accept comments to consider before the imposition of that change. This time, it happened overnight. After the FHFA was closed for the day, the announcement came out that effective September 1st, any loans sold from September 1st on to Fannie and Freddie would have an extra half of a point fee charged for them to accept that loan. Again, that means that anybody that had a loan locked in August, basically, that was closing this week or later, wouldn't have the time to package and get that loan into Fannie or Freddie in those mortgage-backed securities. So because the loan was already locked, the lender would have to lose that profit that they had expected on that loan. And if that profit was less than that half of a point, then they were basically paying Fannie or Freddie to take that loan off their hands.
Terrible.
Instead of just it being a transfer. So, again, there's a lot of people up in arms about that. You know, I've heard talk from some of the former heads of the government finance agencies speak as well about this, that it was what seemed to be just a blatant tax. Let's grab a portion of the money that's out there to replenish the errors that we had in our ways back in 2008 and 2009, so we can get the agencies out of conservatorship quicker.
Is there a way this can be repealed, or is this set in stone and done deal?
Again, they're a separate agency, autonomous to my understanding, but further understanding is that White House is putting some pressure on them to roll it back or to delay it. But again, for the consumer,
Wow.
Right now and moving forward, most likely it just means that your rates are not going to be at quite as they're going to be a little bit more pricey than they
right.
would have been if there wasn't this extra half of a point cost tacked on to them.
Is that definitely only refinances or okay?
What happens with the lenders who have guaranteed a rate lock already at this time for a loan that has not yet closed that was intended to be sold to Fannie or Freddie? It's money that it's costing them in their revenues because it's it's having to be taken out of their pocket and handed over to the government. The biggest issue about this is the way it was
with no notice
overnight with no notice and sudden. And so if they could do this and get away with it, what's next? What else can they do?
I totally
and that's
agree.
Why, that's why there's a big to do about it. And there's, I'm sure, both sides to the argument. But as I said, these are my opinions in the way that I see it and the way that I hear it's been presented.
Because Greg McBride, I'm looking at something with Chief Financial Analyst at Bankrate.com. He said it's a money grab, and it's capitalizing on refinance volume with the idea of putting more money into the coffers of Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, that it could affect 17.8 million homeowners who are eligible for refinancing. According to numbers, that was provided by Yahoo Money from Black Knight, a mortgage and analytics data consulting firm. They're saying on the average, these Americans could save $291 a month for a total of $5.2 billion in cumulative savings. These homeowners have at least 20% equity in their home, a credit score of 720 or higher, and can shave off at least the third percentage points. It's not gonna work. So it's saying it's gonna cost people an average of about $1,400 if this stays in. I hear what you're saying. If they could do this with no notice, what else can they do? That's a little scary.
It's another government tax, from my perspective, that was done in a advantageous way for the FHFA to bring more money into their coffers. And if they can do it like this, what's next? And that's what we have to be on point about at this point moving forward, is that if these issues were known ahead of time, it wouldn't be such a deep hit to the self-employed or the private businesses that are offering and originating loans, because that's truly the pocket right now that it comes out of on anything that's locked. Moving forward, as I said, it basically is a total cost of $1,400 on average. If the average loan size refinancing is $280,000, a half a point is $1,400. Basically, what that says that a rate that you could have gotten for $1,400 less refinance cost 2 weeks ago, today, that same loan, if the market was exactly the same as it was 2 weeks ago, would cost you $1,400 more. Now, over the life of the loan, if it's a 30-year loan, that may be a few $10 a month or so, maybe not even that. But the issue, again, is principle, is that if the government can or a government agency can take advantage of the public this way, that quickly, with no chance for comment, with just a simple overnight decision and publishing a new fee, suddenly, what else can they do? How quickly has the government been able to shut down people's businesses because they say they weren't essential?
Oh, I totally. It's been horrible. So many people have lost, but it's the anxieties through the roof. I mean, it's just not been fair. But they're calling it a new adverse market refinance fee.
Here's the good news for everybody that's listening. Rates are still great.
They are great.
Still wonderful. And if you were considering 2 weeks ago to refinance, and now you hear about this half point refinance, adverse market refinance fee, and say, oh, well, you know, rates have gone up, I'm not going to refinance. Well, think about what you're
it's low.
Costing yourself.
Yeah.
If you've got a $300,000
right.
loan and you can drop your
right.
rate 1% today from where you are, and it's costing you a half of a point more.
It's still worth it to do it.
Market fee, that fee, impact of that fee will disappear in 6 months, because after 6 months
right.
of your refinance, you would have already saved a half of a point. It's just the principle of the matter that the FHFA has seen a lot of this money flowing through the economy and saying, hey, let me jump in the middle of it, intercept some of it, and tax everybody that's doing it.
I agree. But it's definitely just refinances right now, right? It's not every other loans for Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae.
It's conventional refinances only. And the
okay.
pricing still is, in most cases, better than FHA and other.
Yeah, I mean, it's still... So then, you know, if it was 2.96, they might up it to 3. It's still going to be better. Well, you know, now that we're talking about refinancing, what and as a rule of thumb, if somebody's rate, because it depends if they still have, you know, 28 years on their loan, or 15 years left on their loan, or 5 years on their loan, whether it makes sense to refinance or not, right? So as a rule of thumb, what do you go by?
As a rule of thumb, you have to evaluate the benefit of your refinance. Is it going to save you money in one way or another? Are you short of cash flow? Do you need to improve your cash flow? Then maybe refinancing even to a similar rate might help. Are you needing cash out? There's another reason that you would refinance possibly even to a higher rate. But when you're looking at just refinancing your existing mortgage, my general rule of thumb that I use is, can this loan cost be recovered in the savings over the first 3, maybe 4 years at most? Then it gets
okay.
then it gets iffy from my own perspective, whether it's valuable for me or whether I'd want to suggest or confidentially. I would not be able to say in my own mind to anybody, if you can't recover the costs in 4 years unless there's some other
right.
reason, like a lower payments needed for your cash flow, that
right.
you know, it wouldn't benefit you. So I'm always looking
okay.
to see whether it's going to benefit somebody and how quickly that benefit will be seen.
I mean,
after
right.
recovering
if
the
somebody,
cost.
If so, the first 5 or 6 years, it's mostly principal that people are paying, and then, you know, and then, so if they
no,
only
that's,
owed...
No, that's inaccurate. I think you got that backwards there.
I mean interest. I meant interest. You're right. Thank you for correcting me. I totally meant interest, and I said the wrong thing. Thank you, Chris. Yeah, so the first 5 or 6 years, you're paying so much interest. If you have, and then it starts going down, you know, over the years. So if you only had, you know, 3 years left on your mortgage, it may not make any sense to refinance, right? But, of course, if you still have 20, 30, 30,
well,
you know,
if it takes you, if it takes you more than 3 years to recover the extra costs that you're incurring to refinance, even though it's a rate improvement of 5%, if you're not going to recover those refinance costs within that 3 years that you're going to have your payments
right.
finished, then obviously it's of no benefit for you.
Doesn't make
refinance.
Sense. Right. That's good. How do people contact you? Because I know they can go through us and we'll let them know, but I just want to give your contact information that you give out.
They can reach out to me via my website, which is www.cashafinancial.com, C-A-S-C-I-A, financial.com, and then contact me through that homepage, contact us, which will send me an email, or they can call me at 443-643-0470.
Excellent, excellent. This is, we have about 12 minutes left. It goes by so fast. You know, one thing I want to mention, because of how to be proactive, is, you know, they always say you should have 3 to 6 months minimum of savings, right, to be, and So it's just that a lot of people that do not have it, we're dipping in. Many people didn't have anything, right? They're just living paycheck to paycheck and do not have any savings. But this, a lot of people didn't want to even look at their stock accounts or 401ks, et cetera, March, April, and May, because they had gone down so much. And we, as humans, have a tendency, not everybody, I'm not speaking for but everybody, but to put our head in the sand when we think things are bad, or we procrastinate because we don't want to touch something, we want to look at it. And, you know, it's really important to try to be as proactive now. It's easier said than done, right, to try to avert some of these problems and look at everything. Look at your statements, look at your bank accounts, know what's coming in, know what you have, because it is easy to just push everything aside. And that's something I'm hearing a lot of the experts in the psychology side talking about, you know, where people are just not wanting to deal with these issues right now. So,
yeah. Well, the thing that I would try to end on is be not anxious for tomorrow. For today has problems of its own. That is all that you need to worry about. You do need to keep in mind that there is a future, and that the future does look bright. You know, we're in a dark place right now with the economy, but we're climbing out of the dredges that we've been in. And the good news about the market and the housing market is this, is that this is nothing like the mortgage crisis of 2008, where there was an overabundance of housing, which meant that there was a pricing bubble that burst and pricing went down. And we had bad debts that and bad loans that should never have been originated in the first place based on the lax guidelines of the industry. All of that has been fixed, in my opinion. And today's market has limited inventory, which means sales prices remain high. And the foreseeable future, there will continue to be limited inventory, which means that there's potential for a lot of growth and a lot of stability in the market, if not appreciation. And rates on the other side, because of us having to climb out of this hole that has been created by COVID, once we're on the other side of it, the government has an incentive to maintain or incentivize liquidity in the mortgage market, because it is a very, very significant portion of the gross national product.
That makes sense. That's very well put.
I would say to everybody listening in, to cheer up. Don't worry. Be happy. It's you know, the future will be bright again. There's a light at the end of the tunnel, and God is in control. You know, seek Him first, and
I agree.
You know, He will give you the desires of your heart. If not the things you want now, He'll create other things that you might. Those desires that you have in the future may be ones that He has provided and given to you.
That's well put, well put. Yep, it's definitely, we're all going to make it through. And they do say on retirement, like looking at you want, you know, the way we're handling investing and everything, you want to learn as much as you can about it. Even looking at retirement when you're young, you know, the 20, 30, 40-year-olds looking at the long haul, you know, so that they're preparing and not fearing, like you said, just like don't fear, look at today and then start to plan a little bit. And
look outside in your yard and look at the squirrels. Now, even the squirrels are hiding nuts for the wintertime. So it tells
you
a little bit about nature, is that you should be putting something away for the future in the times that become bad times economically.
Totally agree. So, Chris, thank you so much for coming on. Did you want to say, well, we pretty much covered everything now. I do want to say one thing.
I was going to say one quick thing.
Yeah?
I was just going to say I wish all your viewers or listeners good health and prosperity, even as your soul prospers.
Thank you so much. That is so perfect. And the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, aren't they trying to privatize that? Is that part of the issue with the government, maybe? I meant to ask that before. Yeah, I realized I didn't.
Again, Fannie and Freddie are government-sponsored enterprises.
Yeah.
They were set up to promote housing and fair lending. And, you know, right now they're in conservatorship because they couldn't, they were not able to function outside of government supporting them up when the mortgage crisis hit. The intent
right.
is to release them from conservatorship and let them go back to being government-sponsored entities. But, yes, there is also talk about trying to privatize that and turn it all over into just the public and private investors rather than public investors.
Right.
I think the Treasury still has and the Fed still have, you know, to provide oversight so that.
Yeah, I hope they do not
privatize it, actually.
I kind of think it's.
Right, so that,
you know,
so that it doesn't incentivize the people drawn to scam people from delivering
right.
or taken from people to put in their own pockets. And I think that one of the facts is that the government is a watchdog, and we do there is a necessity for that because of the evil in the world.
I do hope that they don't privatize it. I mean, even though there's been ups and downs, it's run pretty well for, the last 40, 50 years? I'll have to look at the dates, but it's run pretty well for a long time, you know? So I hope they don't privatize it. Chris, it's always a pleasure, and thank you so much for coming on. And I loved what your suggestions. It's so true. We need to trust God, seek God first, and look at today and plan for the future, but not fear. Because we're going to be okay. And there is a lot of bright going on. You know, they had the stimulus plans and did put money out there for PPP and other programs and businesses. So it's kind of all working together. So, yeah. Thank you so much again.
It was my pleasure being here with you today, Natalie. God bless.
And let's rock and roll. I got to get let's rock and roll. To everybody out there, I wish you peace.